The Barking Carnival Unplugged podcast uses explicit language and covers adult themes. It should be considered not safe for work and should not be listened to around small children. The opinions of the Barking Carnival Unplugged podcast are those of the hosts and the hosts themselves. They do not represent the opinions of SB Nation and do not represent the University of Texas.
Hello, Longhorn fans. Welcome to the first game review edition of the Barking Carnival Unplugged podcast for the 2019 season. My name is Jason Chilton, a.k.a. Nova 60. With me, as always, Jacob Dedamore, a.k.a. Kip's Big Boy, and the great Craig Douglas, a.k.a. Willie Whalen McClyde. Football is back. Are the Longhorns back? Well, we'll probably have to find out more about that as we go into the season, but winning's better than losing, and they put a pretty convincing win on Saturday night.
Yeah, it really was nice to see a team come out for the first time in a few years and not struggle in their opening game, which Texas did not. This game really went, I think, like a lot of us thought it was going to. Texas was the better team. They showed it on the field. It wasn't a perfect performance, but it was a pretty dominant performance overall.
The thing I love about my voice is that I can say things in so much fewer words than you can. And I just, my expectation was just try not to suck.
Which we have the last 2 years during our season.
And they didn't suck.
No, not at all.
And that was my view.
Thank you for that grand bit of analysis, Mr. McClyde. We appreciate that. Thank you for your contribution to the podcast this week. Okay.
When you start out the last two seasons with somewhere between a choke and a full-blown David Carradine, I mean, it's just nice to see. It's just nice to see, you know, competence and positive play across the board. Yeah, there were a few warts and quibbles, things that we can get into, but yeah, I mean, the top line was a solid to at times dominating performance, taking care of an opponent that you should handle, but that did offer some legitimate threats in a couple areas of the game, and you know, came out looking like a team that could be poised to do some things this year.
All right, so let's get the positives, because there was obviously more positives than negatives. Yeah, Captain Obvious statement right there. Thank you, Craig, for laughing at that out loud. I appreciate that.
Despite being at the game, I was in a couple of game threads online, and those are, of course, wretched hives of scum and villainy and negativity. And somebody always come in two-thirds of the way through and be like, well, shit, I thought we were losing. We're up 31. Yeah. So, yeah, in live time, the invested fan can tend to dial in more on the negatives, but yeah, there's certainly more positives than negatives last night.
I honestly thought one of the best things I saw last night was the performance of the offensive line. A little bit of a surprise starting five from what we had been seeing leading up to game week. But you had Kerstetter at right tackle and Angelou, I can't quite remember how to say his name.
Maya Angelou
starting at right guard. With Herr Braun over at left guard and Shackelford actually playing. There was thought that Shaq might not play on Saturday, but he did. And that the offensive line, I thought, did a fantastic job, especially in pass pro.
Yeah, I mean, this was not the team in Louisiana Tech that was going to test you too sorely in pass pro, but what they tried, the Longhorn O-line certainly handled, and that included blitzing vastly more than their DC had shown in prior meetings with Texas and Tom Herman. So that was one of those things that did kind of take the staff somewhat by surprise, but you definitely didn't really notice it causing a hiccup in the Longhorns' performance in the first half, and then they made some adjustments to that in the second half, which is, you know, much preferable to the post-game presser with Mac Brown and Greg Davis saying, they blitzed us more than we thought, and what can we do? they blitzed us more than we thought.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. They'll call me the best color man in the business for nothing, Marty.
No, they don't. Not at all. Also, last night, I thought Sam, you know, interestingly enough, if you just looked at Sam's numbers on paper, you'd have thought he had a really great night. I thought he was just okay last night. I thought Sam obviously did a good job. He spread the ball around nicely. A lot of receivers got involved last night. We could talk about that in a little bit. But it just seemed like he was a little off last night, especially on some of his longer throws where he had guys open and didn't hit him.
He left a few plays on the field. There's no doubt about that. But I think he made good decisions. He checked us into good plays. did well in the RPO game. So I think, you know, overall, it was a very sort of higher level workmanlike performance from Sam, which I'm fine with. I would much prefer that they keep as many bats in the rack as they can, you know, for next week, rather than going out there and just showing a whole lot of creativity against La Tech.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that. You didn't see much in the way of, I mean, formationally they kind of moved things around, but it was 11 personnel almost the entire ball game last night, and they would just kind of play with the formation some, so they didn't show a whole lot from that standpoint. You know, and who knows what it was, because, I mean, you've been reading about how Sam has looked in camp, and it just seemed like the accuracy was a little off last night. But you're right. The game plan last night was, I think, supposed to be kind of workmanlike. They threw it a whole lot more than they ran it by design because of the running back situation. But, I mean, if that's a B game from Sam Ehlinger, man, we could be in store for some good stuff this season.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is you've seen him hit just about every throw that he missed that night, you know, whether it was incomplete or just a little off, and you've seen him deliver much better balls than that. So, you know, I don't think there's the concern that, like, oh, is he taking a step back? Can we count on this guy to really bring his A game when it counts? Yeah, I think we'll definitely see better passing performances than that. I mean, this was, to my memory, the most free candy that he'd ever been able to get out of the wide receiver screen game. It was certainly a big screen game both ways, which we can talk about to the defense's detriment somewhat. But, the star of that particular show was Devin Duvernay in his first game action in the slot.
Yep, 9 catches to the tune of 55 yards and a touchdown.
Well, and to me, you know, a huge benefit of the night was being able to get Casey Thompson a quarter of play.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Like, you know, given the beating that Sam takes and the fact that he's not been, you know, the most durable of players over his 2 years here, to get your backup that you'd heard good things about in camp, get him a full quarter of play, get him to score a touchdown, that was a big deal for me.
I thought Keyonte Ingram, even though they limited his touches last night, he had 11 carries, he had 3 catches. I thought Ingram looked really good last night, and it's nice to see a relatively healthy Keyonte Ingram out there, because he had 121 yards of total offense on 14 touches. I'll take that every day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, that was the most dynamism we've seen at the running back position, certainly since Dante Foreman made his jump to the NFL, ill-fated jump, as it has unfortunately turned out to be with injuries. But,
among other things.
Also that. Yeah. I mean, he didn't look like a, you know, 5-star mega stud, but, you know, gained plenty of yards after contact. You know, he was slippery in the hole. Something Mr. McClyde is familiar with. Looked well at space. Had one real nice, you know, one step cut that took him laterally across a guy's face in the open field and let him get upfield. So, yeah, I mean, performances like that will go a long way towards helping this offense take the next step from where it was last year. So we left so many opportunity yards on the field where, you know, better backs are breaking that tackle, making that move, turning, you know, 2 into 5 or 5 into 20. And, yeah, he certainly looked like the kind of back that can do that if his health will cooperate.
We didn't see a lot of Jordan Whittington, unfortunately, because he re-aggravated his groin injury last night. Now, from the post-game press conference with Tom Herman, it doesn't sound like it was anything severe. He said that he was actually cleared to return to the game, but they went ahead and just held him out just to, you know, be cautious with it, which obviously was the right move. But he was out there. He had one play where he just made a guy miss on a one-step cut, and you kind of had a glimpse of what everybody's been talking about with Whittington when he gets out there and can be a weapon.
Yeah, and maybe it was my imagination, or maybe, you know, got to do a little bit of a rewatch earlier, but it seemed, even on that play, which looked pretty dynamic, it still seemed like there was a little hitch in his get along. So
a little bit.
You hate to think that that's something that could keep nagging him throughout the season, but you also get excited. All right, well, if that's how he moves at 80% with a nagging groin, if he does get to full health, then he is going to be a load to handle in the open field.
Yeah, most definitely. And then we also saw the appearance of Roshan Johnson at tailback. And, you know, I thought he looked pretty natural out there.
He acquitted himself well. He actually threw a few blocks, too, that I was impressed with. you know, he's just one of those guys you just really want to root for. I mean, a four-star scholarship quarterback who volunteers to switch positions at a time of need like that, and does it enthusiastically without regard for his future positioning. I mean, that's a culture thing.
It is.
That speaks to the kind of culture you're building. And mm-hmm. So I think everybody wants to see Roshan do well. We'll see how much he has to play in the first four games, next three games before the shirt has to come off. And, you know, but hopefully he can get the maximum amount of his time here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, depending on how things go, of course, we'll just have to see with that. I mean, you kind of hope for his sake that, you know, if they can redshirt him, they do. But, you know, circumstances are going to play into that. I thought the receiving core last night really did a fantastic job across the board. As we talked about, Sam spread the ball out. You had a lot of guys rotating in. Brennan Eagles had two touchdowns last night. You saw some really good things from the freshman, Jake Smith, who may have had a touchdown, had a pass been more on target.
Two.
Yeah, and now we can really see what he's been talking about with the depth and talent of this wide receiver core, and there is a lot of it. Now, if you want to get into maybe some of the negatives, which we don't necessarily want to, but we should just to discuss them, but the defense had some issues. Now, we all talked about coming into this game, we expected the defense to get the ball moved on them by La Tech, and they did. Still, the defense didn't give up any points until the fourth quarter. So despite giving up some stuff between the 20s, they didn't allow them to get on the scoreboard. Two missed field goals obviously helped. They forced three turnovers last night, forced a fourth one that got called back for a dubious penalty.
Gosh.
Kind of just a garbage penalty, really. So it's hard to say it wasn't a bad performance by them, but I think it was about what most of us expected coming into this game.
Yeah, I guess I never felt bad about it watching live. You know, the heavy of missed tackles kind of came into sharper relief looking back at the game. But at the time, it was like, okay, it does not feel like they're really threatening us. We're conceding things in the flat. They're taking their cheap stuff in the flat. I mean, we've got to tighten up both our approach there to an extent and just guys' ability to take a good angle and make a sure tackle. But it wasn't like we were getting picked apart 10, 15 yards down the field consistently. You didn't see particular players getting victimized in space, and yeah, you just never felt like they were really truly mounting a consistent threat that was going to see them put three or four touchdowns on the board and make this game more dramatic than anybody would want it. So from that standpoint, you know, I was very happy with the, you know, the big picture play from the defense.
Yeah, that was long by the time I fell asleep. I am not here totally unprepared. But I am here having only seen the second half
this for
the
time.
First time just about an hour ago. So I was very comfortable with how things were going in the first half to the point that I was willing just to sit tight and wait on my delivery from Lucy's Fried Chicken and hope that my son fell asleep before 4 o'clock in the morning because we didn't go to the game last night, and just ride it out. But it was just it was everything that I could have expected, that I could have hoped for. It was stress-free. It didn't leave very many questions. A lot of your second and third team guys got work in that I would like to have seen to get work in. And so now we transition to the big boys.
Yeah.
Now we go to LSU, which is the one that everybody's been looking forward to since New Orleans.
Pretty much.
And so I think that's enough about La Tech, and let's turn to the elephant in the room.
the only one thing I do want to say about the defense last night still is they need to figure out the cornerback position opposite Jalen Green on the other boundary, because Kobe Boyce had some struggles last night, both in coverage and in tackling. It didn't cost them big at any real point, but he did not play well, and Anthony Cook got in the third quarter after his suspension was done, and he did okay, but
wasn't
great.
We'll find out about that soon enough.
Barking Carnival Unplugged does have a sponsor now, by the way. For as long for as long as as long as
this no dumb son of a bitch.
I was about to say for as long as we don't offend them too much, and they may have just ended right there.
Bought one of their hats. Shit,
That's true. That's right. We are being sponsored by LastStandHats.com. Good company, good up and coming company. There, I have one of their product. Mr. McLeod bought one of their hats.
Listen. And my best buddy, Jay Corder, I told him immediately he had to buy this. He's Delsby Holcroft IV on Twitter. You guys have probably seen him around if you follow me. But it's the burnt orange State of Texas silhouette. And in the lower right-hand corner, or center right-hand corner, just says fight. And it's just so, it's just fucking badass. You've got to get one of these damn visors.
It is beautiful.
And wear it to the fair. You know,
the popular hat this
wear
week.
Wear it to the fair. OU weekend. You know.
The other one of the popular hats they have going right now is the DBU hat that they have. And that will be one you want to buy this week and wear to annoy the LSU fans, because they very much think that they are DBU. And so that's been kind of a point back and forth online has been the DBU thing. So buy that hat for sure. They also have a Legend series, which I've seen with different numbers.
But if you're going to buy the DB hat, if you can buy the DBU hat, buy it and then wear it next year when you go to Baton Rouge.
That's right. There you go.
That's where you wear that hat.
That's right. But
you're talking about selling Jesus to the Baptist here. It's okay.
That's true.
It's okay.
Go to laststandhats.com. Use the code HORNSCAST10 for 10% off any item on their site. Wear your heart on your head. It's the number one place for real Texas fans to get their game day gear. Again, that's laststandhats.com. And we definitely recommend picking up some of their stuff this week for the LSU game.
Absolutely.
Okay, so since we're now on the LSU train here, heading towards this next game week, LSU kind of unveiled their version of the spread last night and dominated Georgia Southern 55-3, a very bad, bad football team. I don't know how much you can really take away from that at all, but the one thing I did kind of notice was that they still had a little bit of trouble running the ball, even against a Georgia Southern team. Their run numbers were very meh. And so, I mean, maybe that's something you can look at coming to this week, because their offensive line... count the money. What?
I can't help it.
If there is a weakness of LSU, we talked about this in our season preview. It was their offensive line last year, and you know it's not like they just ran it all over Georgia Southern. Now they threw it pretty well, but the run game was still just kind of okay.
Well, I didn't watch the game, so I'm totally disqualified from commenting on that. And I'm like, that's ever stopped me before.
Right.
But I did see that Joe Burrow threw 5 touchdown passes, and that's all well and good. But I just don't know how much you can take away from how much. I DVR'd the LSU game last night and haven't watched it yet because I don't know how much I could get from it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just that they're playing a triple option offense, you know, and their Georgia Southern's defense is going to be terrible. So I just don't know how much, and they're not going to show anything. It's like Texas didn't, so it's almost kind of like a wash. I mean, like, what the hell? I think I'd rather watch the fucking White Sox and Padres or whatever the fuck's going on.
You know, one thing, it was Tom Herman told one of the bigger lies you'll ever hear in a post-game press conference when he was asked, you know, how much did you look during fall camp? Did you guys look at some LSU tape? And they said, no, we didn't watch 1 second of it.
Oh, that's horseshit.
Bullshit. Absolute garbage, that is. Horseshit. There's no way that they haven't been prepping for LSU through fall camp. And that, so, I mean, I just literally laughed out loud at the TV last night when I was watching that. And as luck would have it, we do have a little bit of sound from the post-game press conference from LSU yesterday when Coach Orgeron was getting asked about the upcoming matchup with Texas.
Yeah, I thought that was in sharp contrast. I mean, you know, Tom Herman obviously has been looking ahead to LSU, wouldn't admit it, but Ed Orgeron, as far as we can tell from the audio, was pretty candid in his thoughts about Texas and, you know, the Tigers' preparation for the matchup in Austin. So let's listen to that now.
Coach, this has been a Joe Rubel Show with the Dime Picayune. The boys there in Austin, they talk about the DBU, but clearly the boys in the Bayou are the DBU of the DBU. So what you had to say to them saying they's the DBU and we really the DBU, you know? Now, Coach, what you say about them Longhorns? Are they going to put it up on the boys, or you're going to get it on them, take it down to the woodshed of the house?
The rubber sofa was on football. I don't know. Toro Lomo's on 5-8-9-9-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5- down, biscuit.
You're right in the fact that it's really hard to take much from either of those games last night. But, you know, we were given some numbers from our friend Will Baser from the Football Brainiacs, and he's also the Hornscast Poobah. He's going to have an article coming out this week, and one of the things he's going to mention is over the last two seasons, Todd Orlando's defenses here at Texas, how they've performed against dual-threat quarterbacks versus your more typical, you know, traditional pro-style quarterback, which Burrows is much more in that mold than he is anything close to a true dual threat. And I think what he said, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, I believe he said quarterback ratings against Orlando's D the last 2 years, dual threats had had a 98, and your more traditional pro-style guys had had a 72 quarterback rating.
Yes. Now, I think that portends well for Texas, but I just, you know, we don't know. There's all these stories about how LSU's offense is different now. They're running more of a spread offense. Is that a pro-style spread? Is that a true spread? I don't think anybody envisions Burrow being a true dual-threat quarterback along the mold of a Kyler Murray or anything like that. But I do think that it's kind of a wild card. We really don't know what we're going to get next Saturday.
Yeah, in terms of the style of their offense, you know, it's not the Bayou Bengals pro set approach of years past. You know, we'll see how much under new OC Steve Emsminger they really start to resemble some of the more wide open attacks of you know, the Big 12 in particular, and what's taking a lot of college football by storm. But you know, they've certainly always had and still have the receiver talent to really make a wide open approach pay off. So yeah, you mentioned the how well or poorly they've been running and the caliber of their O-line. That may be the biggest key to the game, because I think Texas lined up, you know, with some sometimes six in the box, frequently five, and in many instances four against La Tech. So if they're able to, you know, play the run or slow the run down with semi-honest numbers and have got bodies to throw at the problem of LSU's stud receivers, then yeah, you've got yourself set up with a solid but not outstanding quarterback to, you know, hold them down, hold them in the 20s, have a good shot to win. If you are getting hammered by the run and getting stressed by tackling issues out short and worrying about guys running deep on you, then you got a real problem on your hands.
Yeah, so they did. You know, the kind of wide open attack I worry about in this game is that played the defense played by the University of Texas Police Department. Because I don't know if you guys have ever been to a game at LSU in Baton Rouge at night.
Hope to next year, but no.
But I'm telling you, one of the most ingenious things I've ever seen was this lovely young redheaded lady who had filled two freezer gallon Ziploc bags of bourbon and taped them with duct tape to the inside of her legs and wore a very generous skirt. And walked in to the stadium that way, which basically gave her two Boda bags of bountiful goodness to share with her mates. Now,
I think that's how I've heard you describe Christina Hendricks before.
You would be right. Now, I think that our young ladies are ingenious and certainly But I just wonder, I wonder if they have that kind of sort of sub-level knowledge of how you get away with shit like that, what you really do. Because it, to me, the admission standards of the University of Texas have gotten too goddamn high. We have far too many people of virtue getting into school here. Now, I mean, I want to know whether or not our girls have that kind of ability. I have left you speechless.
Yeah.
Which is not unusual.
I was trying to think of the right word. This week's Bourbon Smuggling Horror Index brought to you by Last Hand Hats. Well, the flames that burn brightest burn briefest. It was a nice sponsorship while it lasted, folks.
Basically, what you're saying is you want to see a little less Mary of Nazareth and a little more Mary Magdalene in our, from our...
Well, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying that we should, you know, for years, we were named one of the best party schools in the country by Playboy or Hustler or Fleshlight or whoever the hell was doing it. You know,
the Fleshlight best parties. I think that's kind of the opposite. I think it's the Fleshlight toughest schools to get laid in the Big 12 index. Yeah.
Well, that would have been A&M, I guess, now that I think about it. But I want to see some ingenuity. I want to make sure that we have not overcompensated on behalf of virtue.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I see what you're saying. There's going to be some competition this week with the collection of Kunas that's coming into town for this game on Saturday.
Shawaba Luwaba Yawa! Gravy!
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the quality contributions we get right there on this here podcast.
This just in, Last Stand Hats is asking if they can only sponsor Craig.
Hey, I'm the only one here who's bought one.
I didn't buy it, but I do have one.
I bought one.
It's a, like I said, I bought two, actually. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
yeah, so...
this is vintage bullshit. This is so good.
The one thing that does give me hope this week is over the last couple of years with Todd Orlando and Tom Herman in these types of games, and with Herman it goes back to Houston even, these types of games where it's athlete on athlete, where his team may be even a slight underdog, which, by the way, the early odds makers have Texas as a slight home dog, his teams have stepped up and met the challenge and the majority of the time have won these types of games. And that's the one thing above all else that makes me feel, you know, a little bit confident, despite, you know, any, you know, youth that we may have in the defense, what have you. We've seen them perform in these types of games when we thought that they maybe weren't the better team.
Listen, that's serious sports talk bullshit.
There it is. There it is.
I think Texas is going to win, and I really don't know fucking why.
Just a gut feeling.
They're just going to do it.
You know, honestly, I've been thinking about
it. They have a force multiplier at quarterback. They're going to have 100,000. If it's possible to have 100,000 people that are drunker than 100,000 people in Baton Rouge, we can do that.
It's gonna be a packed crowd despite the construction going on.
We can do that. So, I'm calling Texas by a touchdown.
All right. I do like that the core element of Mr. McLeod's analytics are focused around bourbon consumption, both of what can be smuggled in
and
by...
I don't even drink anymore, for God's sake.
Yeah, whether it's smuggled in by co-eds of dubious virtue or just consumed in the tailgate parking lot, the bourbon index could be the hidden key to this game. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, well, the bourbon index will definitely be the key to the tailgate game, which will start probably on Friday afternoon because the LSU crowd will get here early, and that's going to be a scene on Saturday. For those who don't know or haven't seen online, College Game Day is going to be here also this weekend. They chose Austin over Clemson this week, who are taking on the Aggies. this is going to be an atmosphere like we haven't seen in Austin in about a decade. I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter today. It's like, this is the biggest game since when at DKR? And I think probably since the Missouri game in 2008, it's probably the last game of this significance here.
I don't know, Gray. What do you think?
I don't know. You tell me about Hook'em Horns or something like that.
Who are we going to beat this weekend?
Oh, you?
LSU.
LSU.
Yeah. LSU.
LBSU.
There you go. All right. That's what Now, see, there's the contribution from the Grabus.
Well, somebody with the last name of Douglas had to do it. All right, this is in. Last Stand Hats has asked if they can only sponsor Gray.
Oh, goodness. Honestly, you said you just think Texas is going to win. You just have a feeling about it.
I've been at this too long. I was a sports writer for too long. I've been a lawyer for too long. I know too much about how the sausage is made to bet.
Yeah,
but something tells me that this is one of those rare weekends we're going to remember for a long time, when Texas rises to the occasion, and I don't think it would be that much of an upset.
No, I think your rankings are going to be about the same.
I think it's a home team taking care of business, doing what they're supposed to do,
yeah,
and winning the game by a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, and as much as certain people want to say Georgia didn't want to be in that game in the Sugar Bowl last year,
horseshit.
That's garbage. It was the Sugar Bowl. By the time that game came around, they wanted to play, were ready to play, wanted to prove a point. And Texas punched them in the mouth. And, you know, that this is a... I do. I'm kind of with you. I just have a gut feeling about this. It says Texas is going to pull this one out.
I think I've been approaching this game from the, emotional hedge standpoint of, you know, can I prepare myself for a loss and be delighted if we win? But, you know, I think you two may have swung me around because, yeah, it's definitely hard to argue with Herman's historic preparation and ability to come in with a strong game plan. You know, while LSU's got athletes across the board, really so does Texas, even though they're, you know, going to have a little more youth in spots. But this game is probably even enough that a combination of home field and the better QB should be the way you bet. And Texas has got both those, and if we push the bourbon index to its maximum and amp that home field advantage, it could be a fun night in Austin.
Yeah, I mean,
with all the noise, who cares about the game, bro?
All right, so as we wrap this episode up, it sounds like all of us here at the table are feeling at least somewhat confident going into this matchup with LSU. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, on what you saw this week, or what maybe you are looking forward to this coming weekend?
Bourbon. I think there'll be lots of bourbon. I won't be having any, but I think there'll be lots of bourbon.
I'd like to echo that.
Second, right here. I'm also a fan of the bourbon. So that's what we'll be looking forward to. We'll be looking forward to football and bourbon. I will say this, isn't it nice just to have football back?
Oh, it's great.
And it just really is. I mean, just being out at the stadium again last night for a game that mattered was so fun. And now the NFL is going to kick off this coming week. And so
baseball playoffs.
Baseball playoffs are coming. They are. They're coming soon.
And the ugly Johnny Dickshot baseball report is about to be back.
Yep, it's coming, folks. So until you hear from us next week after the LSU game, whatever happens, we'll be happy. Everyone have a great week. Enjoy the tailgating. Enjoy the atmosphere against LSU this coming Saturday. And hook 'em.